the talk will be about, actually, mostly a web of conjectures that I'm currently interested in, and I want to try to promote discussion about these things. But so there will not be so many technical details, but there will be some results at the end. And so the kind of general guiding framework for all of these things is recent or forthcoming work of David Bensvi, Yanis Sakharidis, and Akshay Venkatesh. And so what their work is about is explaining a specific connection between number theory and physics. And so in particular between what are called periods and L functions. And then on the physics side, S duality of boundary conditions. Or boundary theories. For the super Yang-Mills TFT. So D equals 4 and N equals 4. And then so somehow there's many examples of this in number theory, which can maybe give new predictions in physics. But then on the other hand, the like topological field theory perspective from physics can give like more structural information in number theory. So I will not talk about this part today, but I will also have a disclaimer that the only thing I know about like the actual physics of this stuff is only through the mathematical perspective explained to me by Bensvi, Sakharidis, and Venkatesh. So like I'm just going to focus on the math aspects, but in particular kind of relations with geometric Langlands. So predictions from the physics side, but in the like categorical framework of geometric Langlands. So that being said, so this S duality on this side, Gaiotto and Witten say is related to certain matchings of Hamiltonian or manifolds. So at some classical level. And so here, G is some Lie group, and then on the other side, there's going to be a Langlands dual Lie group, G check. But then somehow, the extra information is of these Hamiltonian manifolds. And then so in this framework, so what this Bensvi, Sakharidis, Venkatesh work kind of describes is some way to go in one direction in many cases. And then so somehow this is like symmetric. So what do I mean by one direction? Kind of as I'll later phrase it, basically I somehow fix that like G is going to be the A twisted side and G check is the B twisted side. But then somehow the prediction is that you can switch the sides, which is some new information. So the way this is going to work is now, so one of the sides, the G side, is going to be, like, the Hamiltonian manifold is just going to be the cotangent bundle of some variety X. So the starting point for this theory is that x is a, well, acted on by this g. So I want a manifold, so it'll be a smooth, affine, spherical variety. Okay, so the formal definition of what it means to be spherical is just that, well, it's a normal variety, but so I had an extra adjective smooth, so it's not needed in this case, but also that it has an open, dense B orbit, Borel orbit. Okay, so somehow this is a very short definition, but it's not so useful, but basically the varieties are somehow small enough, and somehow it's more of a technical condition for the math stuff, because in this more general perspective, you really shouldn't need something like this. But so the real significance is actually just, I'm gonna draw a Venn diagram. So on this side, you have kind of geometry, and then on this side, you have combinatorics. And so mathematically, like in order to go kind of from the G side to the G check side, like this Langlands dual is something fundamentally combinatorial. So you want to kind of live in this middle area in order to be able to do things where you can go from one side to the other. And so like spherical varieties also happen to be in this middle place. So like they're varieties, so you can do all kinds of geometry, but they also happen to actually be classified using this kind of like extra enhanced root datum type of stuff. But okay, you kind of do need both because, well, at least whenever I try to do anything using only the combinatorics, it kind of doesn't work. Okay, so this is one side, and then how this is going to go is that their theory is like predicts that this should match something, some G-check Hamiltonian space, which is going to look as follows, where, so you have, so you can cook up some other, what's called a spherical dual group, which is going to map to your original Langlands dual group, and this map is finite to one. And okay, later, basically you can just assume it's a subgroup. So it's some possibly smaller group. And then this bold Vx is a G-check X representation. So it's actually a Z-graded super G-check X representation. So super means there's some Z mod 2 grading. And then, so if you have a representation of this smaller group, then you can do this induction procedure. So this means like G-check times Vx, but then you modify the diagonal action of G-check X. Okay, so this naturally has an action of G-check. But so part of the prediction is that like after you do all this, this thing is going to be a Hamiltonian space. But so let me just give a little history. So this G-check X, well, so firstly, the root system was actually known for a longer period of time. So even going back to symmetric spaces, this root system for a symmetric space goes back to Cartan. And then for spherical varieties, it's work of Luna Vust, Brion, and Knopp. But then, so this perspective of actually getting a group is much more recent, well, last decade or two. So This was first done by Gates, Gray, and Adler. So they used a Tanakian approach, which we'll see some shadow of later. And then, so Sakharidis and Venkatesh. And later, Knopf and Schalk have a combinatorial definition that's more in line with the root system definition. So, okay, and then so somehow these are supposed to agree, and it does in many cases, but there's some technical details that I'll avoid. Okay, and then, so the group people knew kind of to expect for a while, but this representation is more recent, and so this is the part that has to do something with L functions. So as a virtual representation, this was predicted or discovered by Yannis Sakharidis. And then we check that it's an actual representation or a true representation in a special case when G check X is equal to G check in our joint work. Okay, so what it means to be an actual representation now, or what it's good for, I'll say a little later.
So does it mean that in this case you have some kind of construction of this VX?
Yes. So so I should say, like, kind of to go from X to VX, there's just a combinatorial definition where you just specify, well, there's a grading and whatever, but for the G-check X part, you just want to specify the highest weights, and you do this using data of prime B divisors for X. So, highest weights.
I see. So my question was rather whether there is some kind of sort of functorial definition of VX.
I guess only conjecturally. Yeah, so I should say, like, kind of this, yeah, the current definition, like, G check X, I think the definition is kind of satisfactory now. But the definition for VX, I think, is not so satisfactory. Part of what's like a more ideal way to kind of see how you go from one to the other. Okay, so like somehow you have all this data, but so really, what is the kind of significance of all of this? So they should be put into this conjecture, which reflects some kind of matching. And so I already said, kind of at the classical level, it's saying something about T star X is supposed to match with this induced space. But so this is supposed to be a G-check Hamiltonian manifold. So in particular, it has a moment map, which we'll talk about later. But so the local conjecture, which I think you can say is some version or like some small part of prediction about 3D mirror symmetry, is that you should have an equivalence of categories between, so category of constructible sheaves or D modules on the, okay, so this is gonna be some algebraic stack. Let me just write, let me write this side first. So F is going to be the Laurent polynomial, field of Laurent series, and O is going to be the ring of Laurent polynomials. So in other words, this means, so F means a punctured disk geometrically, and then O means the filled-in disk. And so when I write X of F, I really mean this as some infinite dimensional variety or scheme, but where the complex points are just the field, Laurent field points of X as you know it. And then similarly for G of O, this is some infinite dimensional scheme where the C points are G of O. And then so this thing is some kind of infinite dimensional stack, which you need to be a little careful how you define sheaves or D modules on it, but anyways, I think you can do it. And then so on the other side, I consider so perfect complexes over, I'm gonna write it just as, Vx mod G check X. And then so by this, I really mean kind of perfect complexes for modules over the ring that's sim of Vx dual, and then with a G check X equivariance. Yes. Yes. Well, there will be many examples, but so the most familiar one, and okay, I guess evidence that somehow the conjecture is probably hard because the first most familiar example is of a well-known theorem. So you can take X to be the group G, but here, the previous G, like the group acting on X, is actually two copies of the reductive group. So one acting by left translation, one acting by right translation. So G check X is going to be this G check, but here the bigger group was G times G. So the map is kind of the diagonal map, or diagonal twisted by some Chevalier involution. And then this Vx is going to be the adjoint representation shifted by 2, all in even degree. So I guess I'll just say in words, like there's some business about super, and I guess it's some familiar thing in physics where I'll specify like the grading, and then I just put the super so that when I consider this symmetric or like supersymmetric algebra, and then I forget all the grading and stuff, I want it to actually be just fully symmetric algebra with no like exterior stuff in there. In this case, so this is even, so there's everything is even. So one is that, so if you look at, so here I took big group and then I like induced it, or I induced the representation off to the big group. So here it's looks like this. Okay, forgetting about the grading. And so this is the cotangent bundle of G check. Okay, so here it says cotangent of G matches cotangent of G check. And the format of the local conjecture is that so this is really as a stack, but it's also written as sort of G of O equivariant modules on the affine Grassmannian. So this is equivalent to perfect complexes for G check dual with the shift by 2 modded by G check. And so this is a theorem known as derived Satake, and due to Bezukhovnikov and Finkelberg. Okay, so this is kind of a first example, but so it's actually more than just one example, because this case is more in the flavor of usual Langlands, and we can actually enhance the original conjecture to kind of reflect what we already knew from derived Satake.
Sorry, can I ask you a question before I go to the next example? So about the general formulation. So with derived Satake, somehow there's also a quantum version where you can see the things equivalent with respect to loop rotation. And this corresponds to deforming the symmetric algebra of G-check to universal enveloping algebra. So how general is that in the setting of arbitrary X, for instance? So for example, one thing you can try to do is you can just say that if part of the conjecture is that this induced space is Hamiltonian, then you can try to consider some quantum deformation of that and say that modules over that quantum deformation would be the same as sheaves on XF mod GO4, which are also equivalent with respect to the loop rotation. Is something like that true?
That is what I would say. Like, I think that is the expected generalization. Whether it's true, it's also.
Okay, so is that what is expected?
I think that's okay. Where they originally even got the maybe prediction that it would be Hamiltonian.
Because I see. Okay.
Okay, so the kind of like, okay, well, so there's some enhanced part, which you can think of. So I said like this was some 3D mirror symmetry, but really to reflect that it's some boundary theory for a 4D theory. So on the left, I had this category, but there's a natural action here by convolution by this category G of F, where it's bi-invariant under G of O. Okay, so like just G action on X. So this is called the Hecke action. Okay, and then we said this is supposed to be equivalent to some perfect complexes on VX, but I'll write it as in this form. Modding by G check is the same as modding VX by G check X. But now, so this thing is supposed to be Hamiltonian, so it has a moment map. So I have an action on this side by this category where the Okay, so the moment map goes from here to here, so I can act by pulling back and then tensoring inside of this category. And so really, the conjecture says that like this should match, and then they should actually match as module categories under derived satake. Okay, and then so maybe one more example. So here, just X and G, and then what is G check X and VX? So you could take, so this is not really in part of what I said before, but if you allowed kind of quotients where you twist by some character, so you have G mod, this is uniform radical of Borel, but with some additive character, and then G is just G, and then G check X is going to be all of G check, and here the representation is just zero, or the point. And so this corresponds to the case of Whitaker sheaves. Okay, and then so in this case, the conjecture is known as geometric Castleman-Shalaika, and it's proved by Franco, Gaiskori, and Vilonen. Okay, and then some other case is you can take GLN times AN, and then the group is GLN times GLN, and then so the dual, the spherical dual is actually the full dual group. And on this side, you get cotangent of C to the N tensor C to the N. Or roughly speaking, this is, well, under some identification, it'll be cotangent of N by N matrices. And so in this case, the conjecture is proved more recently by Braverman, Finkelberg, Ginsburg, and Travkin. And so this is called mirabolic satake. Okay, and then so there's a bunch more examples, but I think for time, I won't write any more. Okay, so, well, as I previously said, like this matching between X and the representation is somehow currently not so ideal. So that is one thing I'm very interested in, you know, getting a better handle on. But so the kind of main focus I wanted for the talk today is, so all of the conjectures previously was in the case where kind of X is smooth, is there, then the cotangent bundle, well, is a manifold, but so what happens if X is singular is, well, so this is a question that I'm particularly interested in. So the original motivation is from this number theory perspective. But just to say, so like also in this same work with Sakalaridis, like basically we show that like this procedure going from X to some VX kind of should still make sense. But kind of mainly as a simplifying factor, and because I don't really know what goes on in general, I'm going to assume from now on that like this G check X I was talking about is just equal to the full G check, the Langlands dual group. So because we said like everything is induced from this VX, so the simplest case is where no induction takes place. Okay, and then so this may seem mysterious, but because I didn't tell you how to define any of these things, but like this condition, you can actually just check it fairly easily just like from the geometry of X. So there's like an easy condition here. And so what's special about this case is that like part of what we show is like this graded super thing always has the form, or should always have the form, where it's just some plain representation, and then you shift it by one, and this is in full, all in odd degree as a super representation. Okay, so like in general, like there can be crazy grading and shifts and all of that, but like under this simplifying condition, it somehow looks very nice. Okay, and then so kind of, well, I'll maybe explain some motivations, but basically from their local conjecture like I propose to extend it to conjecture saying that if now you consider abelian, okay, so there's an equivalence of abelian categories, so over braided monoidal abelian categories. So on one side, you consider perverse sheaves instead of all sheaves on this X of F mod G of O. Okay, so maybe you need like super perverse sheaves or something. And then on the other side, you can consider, so representations or super representations, but for a degenerate supergroup. So you have G check, and that's all in the even degree. But then I make this a group where I put this representation in the odd degree, or all of it in the odd degree. Okay, so kind of if you didn't have all this super stuff, then what this kind of looked like is actually you consider the exterior algebra for Vx, and then you consider modules over it, which are also representations for G-check. Okay, so this does not exactly look like this other conjecture before, but the two are, like this conjecture is also proved in this Mirabolic case. By VFGT via Kozul duality. So like this formulation and this one do not exactly look the same, but and when X is smooth, they're equivalent by Kozul duality. So just remark is that in general, like in this, if X is singular, like you could try to consider the full derived category, but like probably it's not going to be so easily described. So there's maybe some ongoing like attempt to explain like this kind of duality, but the answer won't be as nice as, for example, this. For example, like here, somehow this side, this thing, this symmetric algebra I got from Vx, like basically I this graded algebra and I consider it as a DG algebra with like trivial differential, but probably in general, if X is singular, then there will be differential. So the right-hand side is going to be complicated. But like the expectation is somehow, like if you consider perverse sheaves, which somehow handles the combinatorics very nicely, then you'll still get like this orderly answer where there's just like a bunch of combinatorics on the right-hand side.
I think that if it's singular, then for the the best of my knowledge, there's no definition of the derived category. And also probably, if I understand correctly, you're actually considering, you're writing X of F, but technically you're working with a kind of subset of X of F. of those loops which actually end up in the non-synchro.
Right. Yeah, so here I do kind of swept this under the rug, but probably there's some, you know, like generically smooth condition.
Yeah.
Okay, and it, well, but then so this side probably there's also actually probably some like other hidden like extra condition.
No, if you work with a billion categories, that's fine, just the way you wrote. I'm just saying that more a question of billion categories, I think it's perfectly
right. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Well, I think. Okay. Well, where, like, you might be able to define, like, give some definition of this side, but yeah, like, whether it, you know, does what you want it to, or whether it gives some other thing that you know about is up in the air.
But do you expect? Okay, so if we do define the right category, we expect to read some answer in the right way. I mean, when I say not easily described, means that you know how to describe it, like, and if you don't know how to describe it.
Wait, can you repeat the question?
I'm saying that, I mean, if for this bottom line, so when you say something about the derived category in this case, when you say not easily described, you mean that you know the description, but it's just difficult to explain it, or that you don't know a description at all, conjecturally.
Like, let's leave it at I don't know the description at all. Like, maybe in like
okay.
One specific case, I could try to guess at an answer.
All right.
Yeah. So, well, I can say like kind of I only talk about local conjectures, but there's also some global conjectures. In the global conjecture situation, like somehow the matching, like there are some cases where we are trying to like, or Akshay Venkatesh has some ideas about how to match in the singular case. Okay, so. Like, everything so far has been conjecture, and, well, you could say, like, this conjecture is mainly based on, like, lots of optimism given, like, this previous conjecture. But I'll try to also explain some, partial evidence of the latter conjecture. Okay, so the idea is, well, so if you look on this side, okay, so I think of this as some kind of supergroup. But so what actually happens to always be the case is that like this representation Vx, it always has a polarization as t-check representations. So like this was a g-check representation, but if you just consider it only as t-check representations, then you can always split it up in this way where this Vx plus is going to be Lagrangian. Okay, also like with this assumption that g-check is equal to g-check x, Vx is like itself, it's a vector space, but itself it's a Hamiltonian space. Okay, and so in fact, like the weights, this is again some combinatorial thing, but the weights of this half are given by like some x positive cone of weight. So something, again, something about x gives you a cone, and then it just happens that like half of the weights of Vx will land inside this cone. But then it also happens that I think this thing is gonna be Lagrangian. And actually this thing, so well, because of the positive cone kind of has the positive roots in it, this thing will actually be, should be a representation of not just t-check, but the dual Borel. Okay, and then so now, like, I can think about, so n-check means the unipotent radical of the Borel. I could think about this thing, semi-direct product with vx plus, just putting this in the odd part, inside of this supergroup. And so I want to think about this as like a unipotent radical of like some Borel in the supergroup. And so then you should have be able to go from representations on, okay, let me just save time and call this some bool G. Okay, so you should be able to go from representations on the this degenerate supergroup. Okay, so degenerate means that on the odd part, if you multiply two odd elements together, you just get zero. So here you should be able to take some representation, and you can take its cohomology with respect to this subgroup, or, well, its derived cohomology. Okay, and then I want to, okay, so there is such a thing, and I want to explain that, and you can, we can also see this geometrically from this perverse side. Okay, so the idea is actually, if you can just fix some base point in here, in the, because it's spherical, there's some open B orbit. But anyway, once you fix this, you can go from X of F mod G of O to B of F mod B of O by acting on this fixed point. I'll call this P. And on the other hand, you can just quotient down to T of F on T of O, which is Grassmannian for the torus. And now you can define, it's called a Jacquet functor, where you start from perverse sheaves here. And you end up in, to start, you'll just end up in derived category. But it turns out that you'll actually land in perverse sheaves. And so all you do is you pull and then push along this diagram. I guess for reasons of time, let me just say, like, this also works factorizably. So by this, I mean, like, if you have some smooth curve, and then you identify these copies of the disk as really formal completions at points on the curve. Then, like, everything here will, you can allow multiple points and like one copy of the category at each of the points. So then this functor J is actually going to be like a functor of factorization categories. And so what this buys you is that
я не видел, что приехал. Ну что, там чего нет?
Okay, so it's expected that you take IC of X of O instead of X of F. This is the unit for the factorization category. Okay, I guess I did not really explain what this means, but okay, somehow it just means that if you put a copy of IC on two different points and then you allow the points to collide, then you'll just get back the same IC. And so because of this, you can enhance this J into a functor that goes from the original category, but now you can apply J to this factorization unit, and you take factorization modules for this thing over your original, the original target, which was D of Gur T. And so this thing, well, it turns out to be, it's a factorization algebra. And so the theorem, in my joint work with Yanis Zacharidis, so what we actually showed is we computed this thing. Okay, well, not quite this version, I think, but so we showed that this is just, so there's some general procedure of attaching a factorization algebra to some commutative, not just plain commutative algebra. And in this case, I want it to be the Chevalier complex for this subgroup. Okay, and then so, but because there's actually some group relations here, like we only check this. Well, we didn't check the differentials. Okay, and also, I guess we showed that this thing is perverse. Yeah. Yes, it's a graded commutative factorization algebra.
I'm sorry, can you actually repeat the definition of the Jacquet function? I'm confused about how it's defined. So it's maybe, so it's goes from this sheaf X of F to G of on mod G of O to sheaves in the grass minor for the torus. And so we have this pull push diagram, and so what is from B of X to O, but how's it? Where is X there?
Where is the what?
I'm confused. How under the definition of the Jacquet functor? Yeah, so,
like on this side.
I mean, what is actually the map? What is the left map?
Well, okay, so yeah, this is more like a, I don't know, intuitive definition. The actual definition, like, I mean, since this thing is not really, or the category, this thing is really defined using some global model. So, like, the actual definition is like the, I think the one that you are.
No, but you can explain intuitively. I mean, theoretically, what is this map? B of F, not B of O. You mean that you just use this open orbit? So this map goes to the open orbit. I see. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This open orbit. Okay.
So really, it's because like somehow we're only detecting the things that are generically in like the G orbit, or and so well, like somehow going from G to B is not such a big deal. Okay.
Okay, thank you. I just got confused about that. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, let me just say one last thing, like, just to pose a question, is that what I would want to know is, like, can we actually Q deform this to some statement where instead of just perverse sheaves, you consider some like twisted perverse sheaves. And then on this side, what I would want is to get representations for some quantum supergroup, where now this quantum supergroup no longer, like, it's no longer degenerate. Okay, and then so, like, in the Mirabolic case that I was talking about before, like, Braverman, Finkelberg, and Travkin recently proved a version of this. And so the hope is that somehow if you could do this, then when Q is somehow generic or not a root of unity, like this kind of equivalence should actually be easier to prove. Mainly because somehow this is already half of the full thing, and then you can do some kind of quantum doubling procedure to get the to get everything. Okay, I'll end there. Thanks.
On the left-hand side, in my case, I think it's x equals g, the group is g. Is it just usual stuff?
Okay, so the question is, what happens if x is just g, acted on by G times G, and what does kind of this diagram imply? So it's, in that case, it should not just be usual satake. Somehow, first of all, I only kind of claimed this for under the assumption where G check X was equal to G check. And so the group case doesn't fall under that circumstance. So I think there's, like, this kind of diagram, I think only, like, the way I wrote it, it should only work in that specific case. I guess let's just say on some naive level, you know, usual satake does just take, and you restrict to some semi-infinite orbits, and then you take cohomology, so it sort of does look like this.
But, so would it be fair to say that the function should go to the torus of X? Oh, dual torus. Dual torus, G-check X. The maximal torus.
Wait, did you hear what he said? Can you say it again? You were cutting out a little.
Yeah, I'm trying to say that, it looks like the following might be true, that you should have a well-defined checking functor which goes into the Grassmannian for the torus, which is due to the maximal torus. Like in this diagonal case.
You cut out again.
Sorry. So I'm just trying to say that maybe in general case, the Jacquet functor goes to the Grassmannian of a different torus, and that torus is the dual to the maximal torus of G check X.
Yes. Well, I think there's maybe that is what you ideally want to get, but I think there's maybe some question of how you would define it so that you get that. Like in general, I think you might need to make some choice in order to be able to produce something of that sort. So I guess Sasha's question was, so I said everything I wrote was under this kind of assumption, but like what happens if it's not true, then like ideally, what you want here, you want to replace it with like Grassmannian for TX, where TX is like well, tx check is the maximal torus inside gx check. I think in full generality, I'm not sure I have a good way to define that, but basically, like, I think you want to like choose some subgroup inside of B and like perform the same diagram on. For example, in like the group case here, it's actually like B times B, but so in the group case, you probably actually want something like N times B, because then you just get one copy of T instead of two copies of T. Did that sort of answer your question, Sasha?
Yes, but I mean, it would be interesting to actually define it.
All right, any other questions?
I have another question about what you said in the very end about supergroup G check X. Do you actually that it should be well defined in some general, right? You know, under what assumptions you will define?
So this is, I think we should like discuss this. So the short answer is I don't know, so I would like to at least check it in some examples. So this is something I would want to discuss later.
Okay, great. I mean, I'll be in PI next week, so I hopefully we'll discuss.
All right, great.